Good morning. Let's have a moment of prayer before we come into God's Word. Loving God, we come into your presence today with thanksgiving, with praise, with worship, and we ask, Heavenly Father, that as we look into your wonderful Word this morning, that we would be changed, renewed, and inspired. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So do keep your Bibles open to the passage that we had read in 1 Timothy, the 1 Timothy 6 passage. And we've been looking over these past few weeks and over this month at some themes of basic discipleship, really, where we've looked at serving, connecting and belonging, and now generosity and giving. This is really about following Jesus. As disciples of the Lord Jesus, we are called to give. And I know that it's not always easy to choose to give, but it's something that God calls us to. It's a little bit like for me yesterday. I've been running on and off to try and keep myself healthy. I enjoy running normally. I was out running yesterday, but for about 20 minutes, did about 4K or so. But I remember after 2 or 3 minutes, I thought to myself, I should just stop. This is too hard. My legs are feeling heavy. I thought, oh, this is going to be difficult. I run up Alderton Hill, down Trapps Hill, around Staples Road, over there up the high road, down towards station road and so on. So up and down these hills, it's hard work. And a couple of minutes into it, I thought, oh, I should just stop. But I didn't, because I know in order to get fit, you have to go through the pain. And no pain, no gain, as they say. But it made me think about what Paul wrote to Timothy also when he said, train yourself to be godly. Train yourself to be godly. In other words, there are choices that we have to make for living the life Jesus called us to live, being his disciples. And sometimes we have to make choices that are not always easy. And you can sometimes think, do I really need to do this? And yes, to be godly, to be a follower of Jesus, it calls for this. And it's really vital for us in a healthy way to look at this subject of God and giving, God and our finances. And Jesus said in Matthew 19, he spoke a lot about money, and he said it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for the rich to inherit the kingdom of God. And so Jesus spoke very plainly about money and about wealth. Money does reveal our hearts, because money is about security. It is about dependency, what we're relying upon. And someone has also said that our bank statements are very theological statements. They tell us what we believe. Our bank statement tells us what we really believe. What are we relying on? What is it that we really believe about God and about those around us? The biggest issues I find when I approach giving, there's two of them really. One is fear, the fear of lack. The fear, will I have enough? What if some X, Y, Z happens and I've given? What will happen to me? That's fear. I'm sure that's common to many people when they think of giving. It's the basic barrier to that is fear. And also control, where we think to ourselves, well, I earned that money. It's my money. I'll do what I like with it, no matter what. And that control can sometimes get in the way of us remembering that the earth is the Lord's and everything in it, and that the Lord generously gives to us all that we need. But as disciples of Jesus, we are bought with a price. He says, do you not know you're not your own? You're bought with a price, the precious blood of Christ. These fear and control issues are very prevalent when we come to looking at finances, and it can shut people's minds off to the notion of generosity and giving. Caroline and I often ask ourselves around the kitchen table something like this: how should we live? How does God call us to live in this consumer culture? And sometimes it can be confusing to know how to live, to know what to give, to know how to save and spend and give in a way that is in line with what Jesus would want us to do, because we are his disciples. And that's what Paul, the Apostle Paul, is writing to Timothy here in 1 Timothy 6. This pastoral letter. Timothy, who's a young pastor in the church in Ephesus, that the letter to the Ephesians, Timothy's the pastor. Paul was just the founding pastor, but Timothy was the young man in charge of that church. And Paul wrote to him this pastoral letter about what he, as a young leader, from this elder statesman of the church, what he should be teaching, what he should be bringing to his congregation there in Ephesus. A letter written somewhere between AD 58 and 65. A letter written to a real congregation in a real place, to a real pastor. And it's fascinating. And I haven't often heard a sermon on this passage. But it says there, look at verse 17. Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant or to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain. Don't we know it? It is, isn't it, in our day, in our time. But to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. We weren't expecting that from the Apostle Paul, were you? God richly provides everything for our enjoyment. And here we see, I've only got 2 points today, so don't worry. The first one is, generosity is about hope. Because Paul is not, he's saying here, look, the answer is not materialism or asceticism. It's in hope. It's not that God just gives us everything for us to keep. It's not even that God tells us to give everything away. The answer is not just to give everything away, but Paul's saying here that God does richly provide for us everything for our enjoyment. It's not asceticism, it's not materialism, it's hope. Hope. He says, don't put your hope in wealth. And we know that from the stock market up and down, from crashes, boom and bust. We know that easy come, easy go. And our financial system is so fragile that if you put your hope in it, you've got your hope in the wrong thing. We rely on money, don't we? But we don't put our hope in wealth. You know, the man that he said, I've rich and increased with goods. I'm going to pull down these barns and build bigger barns. And Jesus said to him, you fool, because you're this very night, you're going to lose your life. You can't take any of your money with you into eternity. And so he says, don't put your hope in wealth, but put your hope in God. Put your hope in God. Are we putting our hope in wealth today? And this is a call to gratitude, to simplicity. Sometimes it's the right thing to simplify our lives and not to be self-important, because these people here Paul is speaking to are being arrogant, putting their hope in their wealth. They're putting self at the center of their finances. Are we putting our hope in wealth? If we are, we're not seeing God rightly. Generosity helps us to see God more. And the Lord God changed my heart on this subject 18 years ago when I got married. And we began, Caroline and I started our married life tithing. And we gave to the Lord. I'd never really done tithing before, which is the giving of the first 10% of your income to God. It's not something I'd done before, but we decided as we started married life together that was the right thing to do. And it was giving regularly, giving cheerfully the tithe to the church, as well as offerings to other things on top. And the thing is that for us, that story of tithing is not, it's not just a story of trying to be obedient to God. It's actually a story of hope. We put our hope in God, and we've seen provision over these 18 years in remarkable ways. We saw provision of the Lord when we faced a time of redundancy. We saw provision from the Lord when in 2007 we were struggling to pay the mortgage. We didn't just stop giving, we carried on giving, but then we saw a real provision from God. It came from God. It was a supernatural provision. I haven't got time to go into the story today, but the Lord provided for us when we were in a place of financial need. The Lord has provided for us over, beginning when I was at theological college, the Lord's provided 6 cars free for us, which is remarkable. We seem to have the car anointing. I don't know how long it's going to last, but anyway, the Lord provided for us, and throughout that time, as we gave to Him. And I think we've seen these stories of hope here in St. Mary's as well. I think back to before I arrived here, it was through giving that the Ignite post was first, we were first able to hire a youth worker here in St. Mary's. It came through financial provision. I remember not long after I'd arrived here how we received a gift for computers for the office, and that made a tremendous difference to our church office. And it was through generosity. Someone's generosity made a real difference. And look, we have it before us here, as we all know, the story of the Hope Center, how over 6 or 7 years, God provided over £1 million, and it's paid now. What a story of hope to inspire us that our giving makes a real difference. And God enables us to be generous. He enables us to be generous because He wants there to be stories of hope that will come through that generosity, because it reflects God's heart. We don't give because we ought, we should. We give because of the love of God that was first given to us, and the giving is simply a response to that love, and that giving produces hope. He says, put your hope in God who richly provides. So we don't need to have fear. We don't need to be controlling over our finances. We can give. And in that giving, as we give of the Lord back to the Lord, it will bring hope. When we think of Ignite, when we think of the ministry that goes on here, and it's through the generosity of God's people. That's why there's a giving form in your notices today, and that comes with thanksgiving and gratitude. I know that this church is a church of generosity. This church is a church of gratitude, and we appreciate every single gift, the small, the large, everything that God puts on people's hearts to give. We appreciate that, and it goes to the kingdom of God. But I want to encourage us today to continue. And also, if you've not started to give, or perhaps sometimes it's easy to see church a bit like a subs that you might have for a club. You know, you put a few pounds in here and there. Well, I want to encourage you to tithe and to go beyond just the few pounds here and there, but to go beyond that and actually see what hope will result as we put our hope in God, and actually to join in this story of hope and see what kind of hope God's going to bring through your generosity. As I've related to different examples in the past here, in the recent past that we've had through generosity that has produced hope, what will God do in your heart and in my heart as we continue to give? And as we increase even perhaps our giving in that way, I just want to issue that call to us today, and that challenge. Do we tithe? Do we give generously, regularly, cheerfully? Because the Lord tells us not to put our hope in wealth, but our hope in God. And the second point comes through verses 18 and 19. He says there, command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. In this way they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life. And this calls us not only to give financially, but with our whole lifestyle to be generous in time, in giftings, to be rich in good deeds and serving, in doing what God puts on our hearts to do, to serve the Lord. And the second point is really about generosity affects eternity. So generosity is about hope, but it also affects eternity. Being rich in good deeds, this choice that we make to share, to be generous. The Bible then says that there is a promise around that. It says, in this way they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age. Your giving doesn't just affect time, it affects eternity. What you give now, God sees and he will reward. He's a rewarder of those who seek him. The promise here is described as treasure. The treasure is these good deeds, this life of being rich in good deeds, rich in serving, rich in generosity, in sharing with others, not holding on, not protecting, but giving generously and sharing. And it's a firm foundation, the Bible says. And it's about laying hold of the life that is truly life. In other words, this is a joyful thing. This releases hope. It releases a joy. It releases blessing. Laying hold on life that is truly life. And so today, let's lay up treasure in heaven through being rich in serving, rich in generosity, rich in good deeds, living lives that God calls us to live, being willing to share with other people who are in need. And today, that's the simplicity of this message. It's calling us to serve, it's calling us to generosity, it's calling us to give, not because we must, or not just because, you know, to battle with fear or something like that, but to bring stories of hope into Loughton, into this place, and to invest in eternity. That we give from love, we don't give under compulsion, as Paul writes in another place, but cheerfully. For God loves a cheerful giver, generously, willing to share, and that is the heart of it. And so I think this, for me, over these last 18 years, has been one of the keys that has unlocked for me something of what it means to be a disciple of Jesus. And I want to pass it on to you, as the Apostle Paul passed it on to Timothy, so that you and I, we can all be those who have stories of hope and who invest in eternity. So you've got your sheets in your notice sheets. If you want to take those away this week and pray and say, Lord, what would you call me to give regularly? And see what the Lord would say to you. And may God help us to be those generous and life-giving people. Let me pray for us as well as I close. Heavenly Father, Lord God Almighty, we place our lives in your hands. As the hymn says, take my silver and my gold, not a mite would I withhold. And we pray, Father, that our lives would be open as disciples of Jesus. We pray, Father, that generosity would bring about hope in our lives. We pray that it would change eternity in our lives, Father, that we want to lay up treasure in heaven by being generous and by sharing with others. We thank you on this Father's Day that you're a generous Father to us. And that you did not withhold anything from us. And Lord, I pray, let that spirit of generosity increase in my heart, in my brothers and sisters here this morning. And may we see new stories of hope written in the days that lie ahead through generosity and that choice that we make to give. And we pray this, Father, for your glory, in Jesus' name, amen.